Good afternoon, brethren. Now, there is a common expression that states cleanliness is next to godliness. It is not in the Bible directly, but it certainly applies to us in our Christian lives. Interestingly, the book of Leviticus can be divided into seven sections. The first 10 chapters are about sacrifices, and the next 5 chapters are about cleanliness. So it must be very important in God's eyes. The word clean occurs in the Old Testament over 90 times in the sense of being clean, fair, or pure. This is not counting other forms of the word like cleanse. But today I would like to look at clean and unclean foods. It is the first subject in the book of Leviticus about cleanliness, which shows its importance to God. Is there anything specific we can learn from God's commands about this subject? Not health aspects, but purely what God commands us about clean and unclean animals. First of all, there are two lists of clean and unclean foods in the book of the law, in Leviticus 11 and in Deuteronomy 14. Just summarising the list in Leviticus 11, the clean animals are listed by characteristics, but not by name. But the unclean animals are listed by name. The clean and unclean fish are listed by characteristics also, but not by name. And the birds are only listed by the unclean names, the unclean ones. Then there are the insects listed, which are clean, although most of us are not really interested in them. We would have to be extreme hungrier before we started eating insects or locusts. Although in this time of pushing the theory of man-made global warming, authorities are suggesting that people should eat insects and maggots to reduce the carbon dioxide emitted by animals. In reading the list of what is clean and what is unclean, we must remember that the lists are translated from Hebrew into English, and some things like swan, listed in a few translations, is acknowledged to be a mistranslation. Similarly, in the case of insects, we may not understand which insects are clean, again, due to difficulties of translation. Again, surprisingly, in the Authorized Version, there are 5 mentions of turtles. Now, this is another incorrect translation. The same Hebrew word is correctly translated turtle doves 9 times in the same version. So it is not talking about turtles, but about turtle doves related to pigeons. In the list, God calls the unclean animals an abomination. For example, in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 10 and 11, "But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the waters or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination." Now remember this word, as we'll come across it later in this sermonette. In this chapter, abomination is used 10 times. That's a lot for one chapter. God gives a reason for this law in verse 44. It's Leviticus 11, verse 44. "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God is saying that he wants us to be a holy people, and eating unclean food defiles us, and it prevents us from being holy. The list of clean and unclean animals also occurs in Deuteronomy chapter 14, reminding the people of the reason behind not eating what God says not to eat. Deuteronomy 14 verses 2 and 3 states, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You shall not eat any detestable thing. If we willingly ate of what God told us not to eat, he would no longer consider us a holy people or a special treasure to him. That is why he uses words like abomination and detestable. They are very strong words. And if we ate these foods, they would make us unclean or unholy in God's sight. God goes on to give the list of animals we may eat and not eat. The fish, again, are listed by characteristics and not by name. The unclean birds are listed, but the clean birds are not specifically listed. Now, in this list in Deuteronomy, there is an extra feature which is not mentioned in Leviticus. God's people were not to eat anything that died of itself. This is mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 21. You shall not eat anything that dies of itself. You may give it to the alien who is within your gates that he may eat it, or you may sell it to the foreigner, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and you shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Now, I'll not touch on that last sentence in this particular sermonette, but the feature of animals that die of themselves will come up later in my sermonette. But this allowance of the alien being allowed to eat what dies of itself shows us that God is making a separation between the people he was working with and all others. So we can study these portions of Scripture, and if we come across an animal that is not listed, we can compare it with the characteristics listed to know if it is clean or if it is not clean. For instance, here in Australia we have kangaroos, and in Africa they have giraffes. Now, they're not listed in this clean or unclean animals list. But as a matter of interest, when we go by the criteria listed, the criteria that God has laid down, kangaroo is unclean, but giraffe is clean. Can you imagine how much soup you could make from a giraffe neck? It could easily feed a whole congregation, with some left over. With the fish, it can be difficult to know if it had scales and fins, especially when we're in a restaurant and we see a little fish that we don't know what it is on the menu. We can ask the waiter, but most waiters would not have a clue whether the fish had fins or scales. And the real smart ones would say, not anymore. Now, Tina and I had this problem when we kept the feast in New Zealand. They appear to have a different language regarding fish. So where there are no local members or to ask, there are lists available on the internet from Orthodox Jewish authorities of which local fishes are clean. Now, there's one more characteristic that makes an animal unfit for God's people to consume, and that is not listed in Deuteronomy 14 or Leviticus 11. And that is explained earlier on in Exodus chapter 22, verse 31. That's Exodus chapter 22, verse 31. This is listed among the general laws or statutes God gave to the people after he gave them the Ten Commandments. So here we read, "And you shall be holy men to me. You shall not eat meat torn by beasts in the field. You shall throw it to the dogs." This again reiterates the fact that God wants us to be holy even in what we eat. As he said, "You shall be holy men to me by not eating the food that's torn by beasts." This theme of clean and unclean animals continues throughout the Bible, and I'd like us to look at three examples, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, and one referring to the millennium. We can turn now to Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. And this begins the section I want to mention. Ezekiel had been told to make a type of bread from a number of grains. "And you shall eat it as barley cakes, and bake it using fuel of human waste in their sight." Then the Lord said, "So shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, where I will drive them." Now we notice Ezekiel's response. In verse 14 he says, "So I said, Ah Lord, Lord God, I have never defiled myself from my youth till now. I have never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beasts, nor has abominable flesh ever come into my mouth." Continuing in verse 15, "Then he said to me, See, I am giving you cow dung instead of human waste, and you shall prepare your bread over it." So God was merciful to Ezekiel, and he did not require him to cook over human waste. But Ezekiel's conscience was bothered by using human waste, so God relented and gave him cow dung to use instead. Note that he had not eaten anything that died of itself, or was torn by beasts, nor had he eaten any abominable flesh. Now we come to the New Testament in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. God was showing Peter that he was not to consider Gentiles unclean, as the Jews commonly did. After all, they would not eat in the house of a Gentile. When God told Peter to kill and eat what was shown to him in a vision, Peter's response, stated in verse 14, was, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And what was God's answer? Verse 15 tells us, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." At this time, Peter did not understand what this meant. He had travelled with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, and he saw how Jesus' example, who would not have eaten anything common or unclean. Later in the passage, he came to understand that what God had cleansed was not meat, but that he should not call any man common or unclean. This is mentioned in verse 28 of Acts chapter 10. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 28, where we read, "God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." This term common or unclean was similar to Ezekiel's, common or not eating what had died of itself or was torn by beasts, which made the meat of clean animals common. Also, he had not eaten the meat of unclean animals. So these two examples are consistent. Ezekiel and Peter had never eaten unclean food. Now, what about the future? What is prophesied for the future? We can read that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 15 to 17. That's Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 15 to 17. And this shows us what God will do in the future to punish those who will not obey him. "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many." So who will God punish? And he tells us here, "Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, and also eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, they shall be consumed together, says the Lord." So God again calls unclean food an abomination, and he is totally consistent in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the prophecies for the millennium. So we see that from the time of Moses, and actually even from the time of Noah, and on to the millennium, God has explained what we should not eat and what we may eat in the way of animal flesh. After all, God told Noah to take 2 animals onto the ark of the unclean animals and 7 pairs of the clean animals. So Noah obviously knew which animals were clean and which animals were unclean. Now, we don't read in the Bible when God defined specifically clean and unclean animals. But we do know that God only allowed clean animals to be sacrificed. So when Abel offered a sacrifice, he offered a lamb. He was doing so in accordance with that law. After all, lambs are clean. So we realize that God has not changed in all of that time, and will not change. So all these laws are certainly applicable to us today. So if we want to be God's holy people, we'll obey these food laws as well as the many other laws he has inspired to be kept.